This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
This is the theme to GFW Radio. This is the music to the opening of GFW Radio.
Gary Shandling.
What the?
Well, that's Gary Shandling. I didn't tell you guys I was going to do that. Well, see, we're there's pressure on us to have a theme song now.
Really?
Because we're the only podcast that doesn't have music.
Yeah.
And so it came up that we need to have music. So I realized this afternoon that I would do this so that we wouldn't have another podcast without a theme song. So I hope you all liked it.
I can add some of the free little songs in GarageBand to that. And we're
good
to go.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
We have a theme also, song. Also, hello that one and welcome.
My blog, I've got that beat. Diabetes.
I know who has diabetes. Diabetes.
That's kind of...
Seriously, though, when you hear... Not to diss the other podcasts. However, when you listen to other theme music, it's always a sort of like generic, sort of like electronica, you know, whatever.
Well, actually, I've listened to other podcasts. It's got like the steel pedal guitar or something in there.
Yeah. I don't know. I want ours to be distinctive, like, you know.
Yeah. I want Ray Dog.
Pan flute.
R-H-D-O-double-G, if you put that in your browser.
Yeah.
That's a dude who's got like the rad, I don't know what it is.
Drunk man.
Yeah, he's, let me drop a few lines from that.
Okay.
Drinking either way, the paint one can manage what they call me, R-E-A-C-O-double. This fat whack was created by Synesty. Pretty soon he will take over this industry.
Like, but that's,
you know what
that's
I love?
From one of the Steve's songs.
You know what I love is that, like, the music is good enough, but, like, I know, Sean, you were, like, listening to that for, like days on end, just, like, on repeated loops on YouTube.
At some point, yeah, it was, like, it stopped being a joke.
Same thing, you actually liked it.
Same thing with Hervé Sings, you know, Why do people have...
Yeah. That's our theme song.
I listened to that. Well, one time, just to see what I could do, I opened it up in like 50 browsers. It was like, how many browsers can I have it going in at once before I crashed the computer? And then it was
well, that's a good use of your time here at the magazine.
Well, I did this at home.
Okay.
And then how many times consecutively could I listen to it? And I started, I swear, it was like...
It's like water torture, man.
I'm not one to talk about drugs, but like, it was like I had, you know, Puff Purple or something by the time I had heard it like 12, 13 times.
Yeah, don't do that at home.
What if you looped in like Hervé Villaches, Why Do People Have to Fight, and then Red Dog, like over
but
like,
you, that's
two,
the thing,
like,
is like
two YouTubes
we,
working
we
together?
Need permission
kind of, like,
to do
it?
That.
Yeah, we need
and
permission.
Red Dog, like even if I sent that guy, if I'm like, hey, man,
I'm your biggest
fan. I like your music and, you know, we could spread the word about you. We can't pay you, but we can like tell people to go to your, you know, to go to your site. At some point, that fool... He would get in his head that we made a bunch of money off his song, and you know he would get like some cheap ass lawyer or attorney or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't even talking
back.
About,
we need our own unique.
Well, I wasn't even talking about using that as a theme song. I was just saying like running both at the same time.
Well,
on a computer.
I wish
do my own mix.
But we could do that. Except we have ads on here now.
We do.
Like this is no longer you know free use.
Right. This may not. The first thing you hear might not be me having sung that. It might be some ad for some lousy indie band or something. Not that that other band was lousy that was on before. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Whoever they were.
True.
All right. Should we start over?
No. This
Hello
is good.
And welcome this is good. This is good stuff. To GFW Radio. The whole editorial crew of GFW is here, and they are as follows.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
R-E-H-D-O-double-G. No, Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome. Again, we have a lot to talk about, as always, because there's so much going on.
You always say that every week. We have a lot to talk about.
Then we have nothing.
10 minutes before we came down to this goddamn studio, we were sitting there emailing one another. What the hell are we going to talk about this week? Give me that, dude.
That's usually how our podcast is.
Yeah, if Jack shit to talk about.
Jonathan, shit to you.
Singing the theme song thing out a little longer.
Let's see. We want to talk about Stalker a little. That's probably the hot game right now, wouldn't we say? Hot PC game right now.
Came out last week on sale for $35 in some places.
That's quite a deal.
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
That is a good price point.
I would have been playing it had Darren not given me a bum code.
I suck.
So has anyone else actually played it now besides Sean? Darren,
no,
you've been playing?
I finally got my computer working. I played some Barry White, said some supportive things to my computer, got it running.
On Vista.
On Vista.
Woot.
Miracles never cease. So I'm playing it, and I'm still not that far in. Actually, I finally got to that first underground area that you were talking about, John.
Uh-huh.
That's some. I got to tell you, like, you know how like you were kind of referencing this last week, but like, I really do know where you're coming from now. Where like you're in these like, you know, underground areas, kind of like, you know, Doom or, you know, like Ravenholm areas in Half-Life mm-hmm. 2. And there really is that tension as you see like these, like the shimmering effects around things that are like, you know, I guess what are they? It's just mutants, stalkers. What are those things?
Well, they call it the poltergeist, the invisible thing. And well, there's the poltergeist, which is what's throwing the barrels and stuff at you. But then there's also the tentacle face dude
is what I was saying. Okay.
But yeah, they set you up for it because of all the artifact, all the anomaly effects up mm-hmm. up on the land.
Right.
It's like a similar effect. So it's like a false, sets you up with a false positive. And then you get down there and it's like you see that and it's actually something running up to your face.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing I have noticed now, and I'm still kind of just getting into it, but the broken English is starting to kind of get to me. I'm kind of like, I'm not really getting into the story as much as I'm just kind of like, just drop me in the world and I'm just out exploring and interacting with things and mm-hmm. people. And I'm running into some weird graphical mission, well, not graphical, but just weird mission issues. Like I'll beat a mission and then I'll come back to that same area later and it'll say the mission's failed.
Mm.
Kind of like defend a base camp, and then it says go claim your reward, and I do, and then I walk away and come back, and then some guy dies, and I get a mission failed thing. So it's,
well, that's not good.
I'm trying to figure out what the deal is there. Did you run into this at all, Sean?
Not that. I mean, I did run into mission bugs. It's funny. Like, I feel like I want to just let you guys talk about it because I did like a one-up show segment today, this afternoon.
Oh, okay. You all stalkered out.
So and it was like, no, but it was like exactly the same thing. And Ryan was talking about some, you know, a few instances of things like that. But, I mean, I guess I could repeat what I said there. It just took me like half an hour.
Because I was about to say, unfortunately, no, but, you're the only two who have played it still. So.
But I mean, basically, yeah, that I did experience a few things like that, but in the total reckoning. You know, it's hard to get into, and I did make a point of it there. It's like it didn't add up to something that bothered my experience or anything. And I made the case in point where when I was on a EGM podcast before, and I was sort of talking with Dan Hsu, who's their editor-in-chief, about how he gave Gears of War 10. And in my mind, it was nowhere near a 10, and I pointed out some specific mm-hmm. issues I had. And I was like using that as a case in point of how, I mean, duh, people with different critics are going to have different respond differently to things. And some things are going to seem like more irritating to them than others. And this is one of those cases for me where I got enough out of it and, like, you know, I was so excited to play it and the hairs on my neck were standing up that I thought about that stuff after. I'm like, I acknowledged it. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't realize that stuff was there, but I was like, eh, whatever, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, because, I mean, like, this is a testament to this game, because, I mean, like, in the beginning, you know, when the game was crashing all the time, I honestly had rebooted that game 60 times with no joke, just because I wanted to keep playing it, and I still kept at it, and I wasn't regretting reloading the game every freaking 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is like almost a good point. We were going to bring this up partially because there was that GameSpot thread or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was, like, kind of the same thing. It was like I chose, well, the long story short there's like someone on our, we wouldn't even have known, but someone posted on our forums like, oh, there's some guys ripping on your review over at GameSpot forums. So like a dumbass, I looked at it. I was like, okay. But part of the whole thing was that, you know, when I went to review it, I didn't want to do another checklist of, has it got bugs? And
exactly.
That's what people were criticizing you for, was that you actually took the time to do some actual criticism rather than do the checklist review.
Right.
So some people can't handle that in their brain.
Part of
it's
the whole,
it's not like every other review that everyone's written.
Yeah.
I want a competently written analysis of the graphics on the third level.
It could be dangerous to dismiss on that. I'll say it could be dangerous to dismiss all criticism, but in this case, when you look at the source of the criticism, it is important. Here's something about the internet. I mean, there was a time pre-internet where, you know, I mean, where one 13-year-old who just got done posting at GameFAQs, and you can go there, and these are actual threads, who was asking if Chernobyl is a real place, can go and say something about, like, someone else's review. And then the word gets around, and we end up talking about it. Like, God, it makes me feel dumb. We end up talking about it now.
Yep.
It's like, that's the world we live in. We call it Web 2.0. But basically, like, you could be, like, a semi-literate, like, douche and write that the grammar is wrong on this, because basically in his mind, I honestly do think, you know, I mean, I'm not like,
yes,
I'm not above reproach, but in this guy's case, I think that probably a sentence of, you know, eight or more words would by default be ungrammatical to him just because he couldn't understand it. you know, but so the whole thing that it also reminded me of, though, is that there's a problem with taking a review that we write for the magazine and putting it online immediately in the, yes, in the way that we do. And here's the reason. I mean, if you subscribe to the magazine or you buy our magazine, you might not necessarily read it in order front to back, but unless that was your first experience of the magazine, you know about the tone of writing, you know about the sort of stuff we do, and that in the particular issue that this review appears in, you'll have read Ed Halter, who writes for the Village Voice, talking about, you know, Rise of Gaming documentaries based on, you know, different aspects of gaming culture. Freelancer Evan Shamoon talking about procedural storytelling with the guys, the creators of Facade and the forthcoming game, The Party. The previews, other reviews in the context, and you get there and it's like, okay, I'm ready for this. You know, you're mentally in the space of what it means to be GFW. We decide these things are, this type of writing is going to characterize, you know, what we do or something. But if you put it online, you could get there from, you might have got a click, you might have been in that thread on GameFAQs. It's like, is Chernobyl a real place? And it would, someone else could say, hey, another review went up, and you click that and all of a sudden you're there.
Right.
So that's this like jump that you made, you know. And then it is going to be jarring. It's going to be like, well, what the hell is this? Who's this guy think he is? You know, like I just got done saying Goo Goo Gaga. Now you're trying to
right,
entertain some pretentious, yeah, conversation about, right, about this game.
You're right. It's taken totally out of the context of the culture of our magazine. And you know, all things being equal on the web, you are just like another click, right?
Right.
So somebody does land at your review, they don't know your writing style,
yeah, or from
they're not familiar
rankings
with your own expertise in the field of shooters or whatever, and yeah, it could just be, well, who does this guy think he is?
Yeah.
You know, your writing style is different, which is of course one of the reasons we actually like you and employ you. You know, because anybody can write the cookie cutter ones.
Well,
that's not what we're actually looking, yeah, say what, oh, and the funny voice,
and the funny voices, yeah, too. I'm mostly with,
right.
But yeah, I mean, that was like the whole point. So of course I couldn't let it bother me, because when I sat, and no offense to them, but when I sat down to write it, you know, and it wasn't like a sudden change in style for me, but I always say, like, I do not want to write a certain way. And for me, that is what I call a consumer report, and that's the one that goes down the order, and you've got a paragraph that says in terms of graphics, followed by a paragraph that says in terms of audio, or aurally speaking, or visually speaking, or whatever.
Then you got to be sure, second to last paragraph, you put in the negatives.
Right, but in the way that you're kicking the tires on a car, you know, yep, or to say, yep, you're a car and driver or whatever, and you're doing a test to see if the new Mazda is more fuel efficient and the better value than the new Nissan or something, you know. And that goes back to what I was talking about, Darren, is I think, ultimately, we shouldn't be afraid that we disagree and that we have wildly different experiences with games and respond to them differently. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is the way that we approach it as consumer report, you know, sort of thing is partially responsible for that homogeneity, because we can all agree that, yeah, this works or this doesn't work and go down that checklist. But once games, you know, I mean, and thankfully we're getting to that point where most games do. I mean, I'm eating my words because we're talking about PC, but like to an extent, most games do work now. They look good. Almost all games look really nice, you know, right, and they function and stuff. We should get to this point now where the other stuff matters, and then that's when we have a wider range of criticism.
Well,
the way you would with a good movie or something.
Well, exactly. For the longest time, I remember, what was it, summarizing this effort was the Esquire article, you know, why is there no Lester Bangs of video games?
Yeah.
And that hits the nail on the head, because a lot of the critics out there still kind of stick to that, like, the checklist, as opposed to kind of taking a step back and looking at the
and not all, dude. I don't want to be like, well, the douche who says, like, I wrote the best review, because, like,
well, no,
I have
well,
to give props to Eurogamer's review was just kick-ass. Yep. I mean, that was a first-rate review.
But I'm saying, I wish more people would do that now, as opposed to, like, you know, just kind of, like, break away from the checkbox, the checklist. And if they need to, fine, have a sidebar with all the graphics bullshit.
And clearly, everyone doesn't want that. The people on that forum sure as hell don't want that. I mean, that, you're probably describing hell on earth for them, you know, a world where they can't just go down that list and see,
right?
You know,
I mean, Sean, you and I talked about this at the time. It's entirely possible that what might have been best, given more time and more resources, would have been if you could have done a different review for the website,
right,
because maybe the type of review you wrote is only going to work in the context of our magazine.
That's the
right,
other thing.
And that's the other thing I was going to bring up is that, you know, I'm sorry.
Not only is it for the context of the magazine, but the time is also a factor. When I wrote that review, again, I was writing for GFW Mindset, which means it's not going to be read for another month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, which is just crazy. But that also means people are going to – I mean, we were debating before we started this conversation if Stalker was old news, right?
Yeah.
So that means like everyone is going to have heard so much about Stalker when that comes out that I really, really need to go and make sure that it is doing something other than the basics, which have already been done, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, maybe – I mean, that's why – I mean, that's part of the thing. Like it's cool to – I mean, go into the podcast and stuff, be totally timely.
Mm-hmm.
And go through the nuts and bolts. Is this thing working? This thing not? You know, mm-hmm. but
yeah, I want to reiterate something that you were basically saying, which was not that I don't think any of us are trying to be holier than thou about it. I mean, certainly
not at all.
Other kind of reviews have their place and their purpose,
mm-hmm.
and you could argue that some reviews of Stalker might have been more of a more utilitarian value on the web than yours was. So I don't want this to be like GFW does it right and nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. I think we try to do it right for who we are and
for our target audience
means.
For sure.
Yeah, I know. I would definitely be thinking about a review differently if I knew it was going to go up online right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like part of what's going on in my head when I'm writing is exactly what's going on in your head. I'm thinking to myself, well, what I'm writing here is not the first thing. I mean, by the time everyone reads this, like the people who care about this game have probably played it by now.
Yeah,
so what
totally.
So what I should try to do is like write the last word on it. Like, let me try to sum up what.
Well,
you know,
that's what we were trying to do. That's why we got rid of scorers and changed the viewpoint for computer gaming.
And that worked out.
Yeah,
really
that's
well.
Right.
I mean,
but the theory
this
was still a good
again.
One. Yeah, it is that discussion again.
It just keeps.
Yeah.
It never goes away.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think once you put an attached score to it and put it up. Mm-hmm. online for everyone to see, it suddenly shifts the context, which is mm-hmm. the problem here.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah. I do think there's part of it is, the infancy of the form itself still. You know, I think that maybe just the whole industry needs more time to grow up. I mean, there's a thread online about this as well when somebody asked us about our scores and stuff, you know. God, we've had this discussion so many times. I hate to keep beating this dead horse, but
if you
want to
talk about grown up stuff, we have all.
All right. Well, so let's just move on.
Okay.
Fuck
all right.
Is this enough?
That's good. That's
fine.
That's
okay.
Good.
Is anybody playing anything else? By the way,
besides that, old news again. Peggle finally.
You finally
joined the Peggle.
That game has surprisingly got like legs on it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's like a kind of game you're like, you do finish. You could finish it in two sittings, maybe one if you're, you know, you're really good. But like just yesterday morning, I mean, it was Friday morning. And I was like, I made a note to myself to bring this up on the podcast. I get up for work before my girlfriend and I was getting ready. I was getting dressed and she's in bed. She goes, did you say you wanted to play some Peggle? I was like, no. Like, what the hell? Like, because she's always asking me to. Uh-huh. And it was so weird. She, like, woke up thinking, like, I was like, all right, we could play some Peggle. Like, so I don't know.
Your first waking thought.
Make of that what you will, but yeah. I mean,
dreams about Peggle.
It's important to someone.
That's pretty funny. Also, I forwarded you guys the email I got, which maybe it's not the best form to make fun of somebody on the podcast.
who
emailed me directly.
Peggle cover story?
Yeah, well, you know, on my blog, if you haven't been there, and if you haven't, that's fine. You haven't missed much. But on my blog, I scanned a cover that a user on a Gaming Age forum had made. Somebody had made a mock Games for Windows cover with Peggle on it, because we've been talking about it so much here. And I put it on my blog, and I said, this is our next cover. And I guess some guy who runs some kind of casual gaming website thought that was really our next cover because he thought it would be great synergy if we covered his games in our upcoming Peggle issue.
There could come a time.
I haven't written him back yet and told him it was a joke.
It's all based on. I mean,
won't it be a joke? Yeah.
Clearly, you couldn't have a cover story on Peggle that tells you how it works. But if you had some larger story on casual games, you could do that.
Peggle strategy guide.
You could. Huh. I don't know if I'd do it with Peggle with the little unicorn and the. Butterflies.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, it's all based on. It's like
we get a whole other audience.
Because I have issues. That's why.
What's his name? I forgot. He has a great name, that unicorn.
The unicorn?
Bjorn. Is that it?
Bjorn. Yeah.
Bjorn the unicorn.
Bjorn the unicorn.
Anyone else playing other stuff before I come back in? Because I just remembered I have been playing Ilstermovic 2 1946.
I got some freeware shout outs for people. They haven't checked out stuff. All right. So I saw. There's And Yet It Lives, And Yet It Moves, rather, for those who haven't checked it out yet. It was profiled in a freeloader a couple months ago. or last month. I always lose track of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the art style is like, it looks like someone tore up construction paper, and that's all the art elements in the world. And you control a character to move around puzzles, and you rotate the world around your character. So, like, in order to move...
I played that one. That one's cool.
It's very cool. So check that one out. And also,
do we have an Earl to give people?
It's another one of those. If it were like a downloadable Sony game, it couldn't be Xbox. If it was a downloadable Sony game or like a Wii game or a DS game, it would have quite a few threads about it online.
I bet. No, but it's actually, it's really cool. And
this is a game that uses actual art. You know, it's actual art as opposed to graphics. And the reason I play it.
Which I'm making fun of. I actually like that idea. But it's like just the I'm making fun of the predictability of that kind of thread.
Right.
And that kind of comment.
So but do we have a URL
it's
for
on,
that?
It's on FileFront.
Oh, on our own. Oh, we should send them to our website.
That's right. And also, another quick shout-out, there's a game called Toe Jam Thing. It's not what you think it is. Nothing about... Yeah.
Okay. It's not that.
It's actually a pretty cool shooting game to a rock soundtrack. It kind of operates in the background. So you it's like a little bit like Robotron, mm-hmm. a little bit like Dig Dug. Very simple objects circling around the screen, and you want to create chain reactions by causing things to blow up and then explode into each other.
You may have just described every game.
Mm-hmm. And yes. And that's the funny thing is, like, it is like, it sounds like a bunch of games, but it's just, it's fun in its own right.
I believe it's called Geometry Wars, and it's been done. Thank you very much.
No. Anyway, that's also on FileFront, and that's all.
All right.
Carry on.
I've been playing Infernal.
Yeah, how's that?
So far, it's not winning me over.
Too bad.
We're going to have to see.
Tell us about what kind of game Infernal is. Some people haven't heard of it.
Infernal is a game from Eidos. It's a shooter with a kind of over-the-shoulder perspective, like a Max Payne sort of thing. So you see your dude. Whoa. And you are playing a fallen angel, some guy who's been booted out of heaven for not quite explained reasons. It's also not explained why you're carrying a gun.
Yeah,
and whether you got that gun up in heaven or not. and now you're down there on Earth, and you get enlisted
from
by...
Infernal, from the makers who read Spawn.
Well, yeah, yeah, pretty much. So he's, you know, he's your basic generic, like, tough-talking, you know, wiseacre game action hero, except he's an angel.
Yes,
but he's still got the stuff.
To hell with it.
Like, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Exactly. He doesn't say that, but he might as well.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I mean, every time he shoots, you know, he's got the snappy comeback, the Bruce Willis-style comeback. Mm-hmm. So you get enlisted by the forces of evil, since you're now a fallen angel, and you readily agree to that, which isn't quite explained why. And
nothing better to do.
And then you just go around and you shoot, like, monks with guns and things like that, mm-hmm. at least where I'm at so far.
What about all your psychic powers and stuff? I mean, when Darren wrote about it, it sounded kind of like, what was the Midway's game? It was really cool.
PsyOps,
yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I've got a few powers, and I'm probably getting more because I'm only a couple hours into it. So far I've gotten, like, yeah, you get the power to, like, shoot shit out of your hands, you know.
Well, the thing is, it's
not
kind of...
shit. You don't get to shoot feces out of your hands.
You're an angel after all.
Right.
Infernal
that was
shit.
That was the casual use of the word shit. So
what's not so great about it so far? Because the way you described it right now, you could have kind of used a different tone of voice.
I could have used
totally
a different tone of voice.
Totally excited about
I could
that
have.
Exact
stuff. Oh, you know, you're up in heaven and you get booted out by God, which is, like, just so metaphysically amazing.
Drop that shit, Jeffrey.
Yeah, and so then you're back down on Earth and you think, you know, that maybe now you're, like, back to life or something because you weren't having him now. But then Satan enlists you, dude.
Whoa.
Isn't that awesome? And it's like, oh, my God, am I going to go from heaven to hell now? Should I do it? Should I be fighting for Satan? And then the answer is yes. I fucking do fight for Satan, and it's awesome. Okay.
Sold.
That's good.
I'm buying that.
But the whole notion of, like, turning your body into a weapon, your body becomes a cannon. I mean, you're shooting.
True.
You said your arm is shooting. I mean, you have the gun for backup, but you could just shoot that.
You could, but you have mana. You have mana. Oh, and by the way, you call it mana, which is sort of weird.
That's kind
of.
Mana from heaven, but not.
I guess. So you can't, the mana has very
limited.
So
what limited. About, like, temporary teleportation and stuff?
That's kind of neat. In fact, I will say, so far, maybe there's going to be more stuff coming along. I don't know. This is not my review yet. It's early. But that is the one thing that where I finally went, okay, this game is now doing something I have not done before in a shooter, so yay. So yeah, you aim the reticle at where you want to go, you right-click, and then you temporarily teleport to that spot in the game, and you can do whatever for that moment, and then you're back where you started.
Yeah, that was.
And so there's some neat gameplay tricks that go on with there, like taking out a guard from behind or disabling a security switch or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
so that's kind of neat.
That was the only part of the game I played in the demo that I had a long time ago. And
well, I'm not surprised that they put that in the demo because that's probably their only good trick. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Might as well just rip off PsyOps flat out. I mean, there were so many good things in that game. Like, you could take over and assume control of anyone. So, like, if there, you know, that way that enabled the developers to create all sorts of puzzles where it's basically terminal state. Like, you had to die in order to,
yeah,
like, accomplish,
you know,
something.
There's certain moments right now where it's just feeling like generic shooter to me. And, you know, like here's one moment that got to me as, like this is your game? And that was it. I round a corner, and you know how a shooter will give you, like, a temporary cutscene for just a second to, like, you know, give you a little you know, preview of the upcoming puzzle, right? So I round the corner, and then it switches to the cutscene where you see the security camera going around on a swivel, right? And then it cuts back to you. So it's like they're basically, the game is telling you, there's a security camera coming up,
don't,
and you better
caught,
figure out how to dodge it.
Don't,
okay,
get caught, dumbass.
So I'm like looking at the thing for a second, and then it's like the first Indiana Jones movie. I just pick up my gun and shoot the thing from far away, and it goes out. And I'm like,
but
what
then
do you give me a fucking cutscene for that for?
Well, was it setting you up, though, for, like, a whole bunch of other, I mean,
no,
was the level,
that,
like,
was just, like, one
cameras?
Moment, and then there was no other camera. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow, thanks.
That game is being developed in Poland, right?
Yeah.
Metro
it's,
Studios?
I shouldn't say yes. I don't know.
Well, it's, it's,
yeah,
it's,
whatever
it's
you say,
I'll
Sean.
Say, Eastern European.
Is too. Okay. I was just...
It's Eastern European. I mean, there's
weird. That's like the opposite of what we were talking about Stalker, about how it's just, like, so not concerned with holding your hand on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That is weird. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, who knows?
We'll see.
Could be one just game designer's whim over another.
Exactly.
And I read in previews about the AI, and so far, I mean, there are some instances where I'm seeing them dodge and go behind cover, which is kind of neat, mm-hmm. or they'll do a reverse flip, which is kind of cool. But then there's other times where, you know, I'm walking into a room and they're basically just, like, standing there.
That's the
and
same
I'm,
problem I had.
And I'm, like, putting a gun to their head and firing, and they're like, "Who? What's that? Like, what's that? That's a bullet in your head,
that's
buddy."
That's why it's rad.
You're an angel.
That's why, like, it helps that, like, a lot of Stalker's audio cues, I'm guessing, are, you know, like, not translated. Because when guys sit there saying the same thing over and over again, and there are parts where they do that in English, like in the bar.
Yeah.
It totally sucked. But yeah, like in any game, it's always been that way in Splinter Cell. Someone's like, "I hear you." I hear you.
Right,
it's
right.
It's exact same thief, like, yeah, file that, keeps, yeah, queuing up.
But it just sucks. Like, you know, they knew about this exact problem, like, at least 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And they still hadn't done anything about it.
Yeah. And you're right. The same audio cues come up all over the place, like, regardless of the context. Like, there's one that's along the lines of, "Drop your weapon," and, like, that made sense very early in the game when there's like an ambush or something from the cops. But later on, when I'm in a firefight with the bad guys and they're yelling, "Drop your weapon," I'm like, "No, the hell I'm gonna."
Sure, if you say.
Hey, it's worth a shot.
So anyway, we'll see. Initial impression, not so good, but I'm sticking with it. And if it gets better, I will come back here and I will eat my words.
Oh, you know, I just reminded one thing really quick. Did you ever play the game Second Sight? You brought up PsyOps.
I remember it came out shortly after, and I played preview stuff of it, but not the final.
Yeah, that was a game that suffered from coming out a couple months after. But
yeah,
if you can find that on a bargain bin somewhere, check out Second Sight.
Yeah. Also, you know, I was reading good stuff about the graphics in this game, and so far I'm not seeing that either, mm-hmm. at all.
It's kind of there.
Just kind of there.
It has the normal mapping and stuff. I mean, it's like technically accomplished. Here's the difference: the difference between the graphics and the art direction, I think. Because you were pointing out, someone had claimed that it looked better than Half-Life 2.
Yep.
Which on the graphics side is big accomplishment there. I mean, look how old Half-Life 2 is.
Right, yeah.
But in the art direction side, that's a preposterous statement. I mean, just from the levels I've looked at over your shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of Philistine says something that stupid?
Right. And then it's got the whole problem of, like, they've got the terrible, like, robotic eyes thing going on, you know, and the mouths that don't move the right way. And, you know, the human modeling is just really bad.
The deep within the uncanny
Those are difficult. Those are difficult things to get. But to get, yeah, right. I mean, outside of Half-Life, I don't Half-Life 2. I don't know of very many engines that sync voice, you know, to facial animation very well at all.
I mean, I haven't been able to do that. So what? Where do I get off telling people?
I'm sorry.
No, but my complaint is that, like, you know, Doom doesn't do it. Halo doesn't do it. You know, any of the other big engines haven't been able to do it. You know, Brothers in Arms didn't do it. I remember, like, that was kind
of
tricky.
Well, I guess I'm a victim of video game magazine hype. Because I read a bunch of reviews, and then I played this game, and I'm like, oh, I don't see what the big deal is.
It was must have been in a press release somewhere.
Yeah. All right, so
angelness a little more, and you'll get it.
Any,
should we take a little break?
And then come back with other topics.
Well, I can.
Oh, do you have another game you want to talk about? Oh, sorry,
it's
just, Sean.
It's like no one cares because it's an old game or it's like a simulator or what. But
no, we care.
Oh, I forgot. You
so
IL.
Oh, IL.
IL. Yeah, 1946 is a collection of all of the original game and all the expansions that have come out since, and some new stuff. And the only point I could make, I can't. This is a first for me. So I can't compare it to, and actually I thought about this. I was like, okay, it would be utterly useless for me to review it officially in the magazine, at least for people that, you know, are discriminating combat flight sim players and that want to look and see just how this differs from the last stuff. However, I think my perspective on it is valuable in that it's kind of like a dying breed, right? And it's the only way you're going to get around that is by having, by injecting some new players into the mix, you know, which is exactly what I am. And here's this case where I went and I got, you know, I got a flight, very nice flight stick from, I think I inherited it indirectly from Darren. I got
the one that I loaned to Crispin?
Yeah, the SciTech one. And it was just awesome. It's like a $200 thing.
Yeah.
Could you play it without it?
I heard you couldn't, so I didn't bother.
Yeah,
first
you really
thing I did,
to
I hooked it
things
up to that. And but, I mean, all I could say about it really quickly is that it's so satisfying in ways that you don't get with other games. This is like a big duh. If you're sim players yourself out there, you're like, well, yeah, welcome to the club. But it's like even performing the most menial task somehow takes on the significance because you're pressing so many goddamn buttons to do it that you're like, I just did something. Like when you take off, when you finally take off and you didn't mess up, you know, and or like the first time that you get into a serious stall, a spinning stall, in fact, and then you recover from that. I mean, everything is just like, it's just a sense of achievement, you know, and it's actually really cool. And of course, you can get into it. You're looking around the cockpit, and you're moving all the levers and stuff. I mean, I was proud. I'm taking off in dual-engine planes now, and depending on, you know, the model of the plane, like both engines are spinning in the same direction, and it creates this, like, this force that wants to push the plane on the left of the runway as you take off. So you might adjust the pitch on the left engine, slow it down, and all this cool stuff, but you get the hang of it, and then you don't really think about it anymore. It's like driver's ed when you first get in a car and you're learning to drive, and all the shit now that you don't even you don't consider part of driving. Like if you drive an automatic, all there is to do is put your foot on one of two pedals and turn a wheel. Mm-hmm. But when you're 16, you know, when you're 15, you're like, well, you gotta you buckle up,
check the mirrors,
you adjust the mirrors, and you pull that, you let the handbrake down. And all that stuff. But so it's like, you know, that you got the rear wheel that you unlock and your front wheels. But long story short, it's fun. Even on the first time I got airborne, I ended up shooting a couple bombers down, and then I was dogfighting. But just the fact that it's combat, I mean, there's just the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And there's just so many subtleties and complexities to just like aerial combat. And it so far, it's pretty cool. And I think if you're even slightly interested and you're like, I want a different experience, provided you have a flight stick of some sort. You don't need the one that I have, but as long as you got one of some sort.
Would a gamepad work or no? Does it have to be a stick?
You know, I really say get the damn stick. You know, it seems like the game is made for it. And if you're flying any kind of like plane outside of just an early war single-seat fighter, you're going to need all the buttons you can get.
Mm-hmm. There's actually some slightly older joysticks you can get online, flight sticks you can get online for like 30, 40 bucks. Like,
yeah, that's an unfortunate barrier to entry right there.
I mean,
it is, but I suppose it's like any game, like a console game where you need the you know, Guitar Hero or whatever.
It's right. So different. I mean, I'm used to play, you know, Battlefield and Battlefield 42 and all these moves. I mean,
you start going into it, right?
Yeah, and you start trying to do the stuff you do in that to the same extent without adjusting your engines and stuff. And you stall, you rip your wings off, you set your engines on fire. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. You like really appreciate like you can perform those maneuvers in these planes, but you don't do it just by pulling back on the stick and putting your foot down on one of the pedals, you know.
Have you gone back to Battlefield lately just to see what it's like?
Yeah, I mean, I routinely play like 42 on the all plane servers, so it's different. And it actually helped me, the stuff I've learned. I mean, like moves like yo-yos and inverse yo-yos. I mean, just ways to close gaps between people, keep them in your firing zone, just all the technical flyboy stuff. But it actually, it works. You can even watch, I watched that, this is my turn to nerd out. This is your turn to make fun of me. But I watched that show on the History Channel. They got dogfights. They put CG on that shit. Make it all fancy.
Uh-huh.
They show you just how these things went down. You got old men moving their hands around. When you fast forward it, actually, because Chris been the same guy at EGM. Yeah, it looks like old dudes raving. Like when you fast forward through episodes of this. And but so even watching that and hearing them explain, you know, the ways that they're using their vector rolls and stuff, or the way that, like, I actually simulate, like, ways that the engine and the stall characteristics of, like, say, a Hellcat versus a Zero, and they actually work. You go in the game, and if they try to follow you into a loop and you're in a Hellcat and they're in a Zero, then they're going to stall first, you know. And it's cool stuff. Yeah, I like it. So I'm getting nerd out. Maybe come next game, I might actually be qualified to do a review on it.
Sean Elliott, bringing Sims back.
Bring it back.
You know, with this, the magazine used to be heavily Sim-oriented.
It used to be all
Sims all the time. It was like least multiple covers.
Well, yeah, when we were going back for that retrospective feature, like 1 year would have like five
at least,
Sim covers.
At least. When I first started, we would actually kind of argue about it. We'd be like, please, let's not have another plane on the cover.
Yeah.
It's not even an option these days.
It's It's not like completely gone. I mean, like Flight Sim 10, it was, I'm assuming it must have done pretty well. I mean, there are magazines devoted just to, you know, flight sims. But
that's very different than having a genre full of sims of all different nature. You know, I mean, there were driving sims, too.
Or having like
three
flight sims in the top five, you know.
And it wouldn't even just be flight, you know.
Yeah, we'd submarines, driving, anything. Yeah.
Sad.
Mm-hmm. Not just the sims.
Now it's all console ports and Peggle.
The other thing about this game I'm waiting to do is it's like, I forgot the number. It's like you can have like 80, I think if I remember, I was like over 100 people online. And that's some serious dogfight. And also like just tons of people in co-op, you know? I mean, just get a whole big armada of us together and go on some crazy like bombing run of, you know, fighter escort. And
you can get a lot of people together in WoW, Sean.
Yeah, I know you can. It's not as cool. We're like we're team speak, narrating each other. Oh man, I'm getting some turbulence over here. all right, so we need to take that break.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
Oh, hello! I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of. EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the OneUp Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
Ah, that was a good break.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Can we all feel better now?
Yeah. We're ready to go to the long haul on this one.
We got it. Are we ready for the long haul?
Yeah, let's
wind her up.
Yeah. We're going to keep going.
I get the feeling Ryan's getting ready to unleash some massive hate fest on us.
Oh, yeah. Bring the pain, Ryan.
Well, there's an item here about Guild Wars 2.
Oh, boy.
What actually did that item say? Did it offer any details?
Probably would have helped if I printed it out rather than the URL to it.
No, I got it.
Oh, you got it.
What did we learn now, Ryan?
Well, there was a big interview, I think, on Kotaku. Right?
Yeah.
They were interviewing Jeff Strain, who's one of the leads at ArenaNet, talking about Guild Wars 2, which is supposed to enter public beta at some point next year.
Okay.
And the huge thing about this game compared to the original is that it's going to be a persistent world rather than a world full of instants.
Interesting.
Ooh, so fees.
Fees. They're saying it's still going to be free to play.
Wow. Right. And how long are they going to be around?
I don't know
for?
How they're going to do that.
Yeah, how are they going to do that?
I don't know.
We all said wow.
And there's also
same time.
According to this, going to be multiple servers.
Hmm.
Which, you know, I mean, it sounds like a big, a real MMO. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tricky.
Your eyes are lighting up, dude.
It sounds cool.
It sounds like the
actually,
good shit.
Hell yeah. Sound cool. I mean,
yeah, they pulled that off. But what ways could you accomplish that?
They probably won't tell us now in public.
No, of course not.
Right? There are little secrets of how they would make that work.
Game
economically.
Is it advertising? Yeah. That was the first thing that popped in my head.
A lot of Preparation H billboards on the hills of Nargul.
The sword brought to me by Doritos.
Guild Wars.
Well, I hope they can do it in a way that doesn't piss a bunch of people off.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan?
I'll play it.
Well, they're hard working over there at ArenaNet. They've always got some new Guild Wars thing going on.
They've got another expansion coming out for the original Guild Wars.
I can't keep up.
Really? What's this one? What's this one called?
Eye of the North, I think.
That sounds right.
I believe this is one featured in another competing magazine.
Well, this one's actually an expansion in that you have to have one of the other ones to play it, right?
Well, from what I understand, this is a first in that it's geared completely toward players who have already completed other Guild Wars campaigns and who have reached the level cap. Mm-hmm.
So it is high level content.
They're hooking people up.
I guess so. And it's supposedly the last Guild Wars 1 product. Hmm.
So they're just going to keep that spinning for a while.
It's funny, they moved on to 2 a lot quicker than other games move on to the 2 in the online space.
Did they move on from Guild Wars? I know they didn't, but it would be fun. They moved on from Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2 before Half-Life Episode 1 went to Half-Life Episode 2.
That would be awesome.
Oh, gosh. You could be right.
That would be so rad.
I know. Yeah, we got to find that out.
That's not the case. But
start counting soon episodes.
It could be, though, if they depending on when episode 2 comes out.
I'm sure we can make
it. That is bad. That's over a full year. Like, this is the point. Like, we were on here, and we were like, you know what? Episodic's a great idea. And I still think that, and there's still quite a few developers who say that. But give me a fucking break. Like, sorry for the F-bomb, but that is not an episode. That is the sorriest shit ever.
When did episode 1 come out?
Wow, you're a hater now.
I know. I'm going to buy it. It's probably going to be great. And Valve hasn't given me any reason to believe that they're going to make a shitty game.
Just change the name to episode.
But the time episodic. Thing, though. But that
the
is
time
a huge.
Thing is a
it's
joke.
Like, yeah, don't call it an episode. I mean, just call, at the, this point, call it
call
like
an expansion or.
You remember our cover?
What did that cover?
It's every, a new months. Half-Life every 3 months.
Yes.
On
no.
Paper. Yeah. But hey, Telltale Games is pulling it off, right? With Sam and Max, they're on episode. Five.
Yeah, give them props.
So props to Telltale for actually doing an episodic game and coming through quality-wise, from what I understand.
According to our own reviews,
I have not played.
Here's the criminal part. I'm actually holding off until the full season 1 is done.
I'm doing that too, but still.
I think it'll actually be better for people who do that.
To play it all at once?
I think so.
Well, that's like getting the whole season of TV at Netflix or something.
Watching all of Lost all in one shot or something. Very different experience.
So wait, when did episode 1 come out?
Was it last January? Last year, yeah.
January? It was like early last year. I can't remember when exactly.
So it's been at least a year.
Was it? Was it
episode 1? No way.
It was like spring, wasn't it? Or summer?
Spring?
We did our cover story in the August.
Not Sam and Max.
We're talking about Half-Life. Okay, never mind.
Episode 1.
I don't know. So we did the cover story
in an October issue, and then, like, the review went up.
It's been a long time.
A while after that. I could swear it was.
I got to work on that.
Yeah.
Episode 1.
That was, like, still trying
right
to figure
after
that out.
I started.
It was after we so removed like, scores. So it was.
Come on, let's move on.
Anyway. Forget it. Come on.
I don't care.
Okay, it was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, we're recording something.
Is this on still?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, everyone.
So you're
KFW Radio.
We're basically saying it's time for the Heroes of the Web to make its valiant return.
It is. Sean was on a moping strike last week.
In the same way, I wanted to comment on the nature of how one dude on the internet's voice is suddenly worth, like, more than. The 12-year-old's, prepubescent voice that I'm...
Sean got some negative feedback, and it made him want to stop.
Yeah. No,
but the fans were outraged,
Sean.
They...
We'll take periodic breaks.
Yeah.
But then I did get so much, like, Okay, I did get a lot of like mail asking for it to come back, mm-hmm. but one of them that touched me is this dude.
Some soul searching.
Yeah, this dude, he works in like a deli. It, this goes out to you, my man. He works in a deli, and so he says it's the most bummed out shit he can ever do. But they let him turn the music on sometimes, so mm-hmm. we put on our podcast. Mm-hmm. He said that's his favorite part. He looks forward to it every time, and it makes
him
laugh.
So while he's sitting there at the frickin' pastrami right. cutting machine.
He's listening to Heroes of the Web. He's
dropping me.
You got dudes out there like that.
Uh-huh.
And they need this, so.
Okay. Here's to you.
Now, this one takes some context. I don't even need to decide what voice I'm going to read in, but basically, it's fine. I didn't find it, but Form Guy, Yakety Yak Blah, we mentioned him before. He hooked me up. And he found a forum that's dedicated to a number of things, but the worship and sexual fetishism of Sonic the Hedgehog cast and characters. But
now, is it just Sonic characters?
It's just Sonic, but they branch out. So, for example, they'll have subboards where if you want, and these are actual subboards. They have for those who fetishize Bubsy or Donkey Kong. Or help me out here. Donkey Kong was
Crash
one,
Bandicoot?
Which was Crash Bandicoot, of course. Spyro or Spyro the Dragon.
Spyro, if he's
Zelda, Mario Brothers. There was a guy on there who professed that he had actually masturbated to Boo from Super Mario Brothers. Now, wow. You think I'm making all this up?
No.
Darren and other people in here can attest because I showed you pictures of their. They posted pictures of their sexual aids on which they put stickers of. Sonic characters.
Okay, so
getting out of that, the part that we can read, the part that's fit for air, none of it's fit for human consumption, but the part that's fit for Heroes of the Web is that they instituted a program where you're able to marry these characters.
What? Oh.
So, Jeff, go ahead and interrupt me.
What do you mean?
They're able to marry these
Jeff's
characters.
Jeff's thinking, I need to screen these before we start talking about
What do you mean? Sega said it was okay for you to marry
them? No, they decided on their own in their forum.
Okay. They authorize it.
Okay, what I want to interrupt you with was maybe I'm just haven't been around that much, but what exactly does this mean to fetishize? I mean, they're like, they think Sonic the Hedgehog is like hot.
Sexy.
And so
best.
They're looking at him and they're thinking,
not only
I'd like
Sonic,
to,
some...
I'd like to get with Sonic.
Exactly. And their tastes will differ. Some are attracted to Sonic. Others, there's a female character called Rose. And others, there's, what's this guy? It's like a Dr. Robotnik. Is that the dude?
Or Eggman.
Eggman. A guy with a great big bushy mustache and a massive, pot belly. And they draw him on there in a bikini and doing the whole.
Stop.
Okay.
Dude, come on. You're here.
All right. So that
Jeff
dude.
Jeff asked.
Sorry, I did.
Okay.
Yes, it's
let's just get into it. So here is the first post when they figured out a way to marry the characters of their dreams.
I love how they figured it out.
And then do you tell your actual wife?
With the help of a wonderful website, and I'll advertise it later, that allow us to marry a video game character. I married Sonic the Hedgehog a few minutes ago. Dear everyone, today is best day of my life, and I want to celebrate it with you all. I'm crying right now. I'm crying. I never thought I was single since he were my lover, but now there is proof on the internet. The whole world will see that I'm married to Sonic with the real certificate, and I'm his first wife. I don't exceed the number 5. Today, Sonic and me are married. Married him to prove my love for him and to prove that I'll be faithful to him for eternity, but I'm still a slave. I would like to give absolutely all the credit to Brutus who gave me the link to this incredible website. You may even notice that I put up marriage music on our own website.
Below this is a certificate of marriage that certifies Alex. And he says he's Sonic's first wife, but this is a male poster. I don't know if that matters. But Alex Henryall and Sonic the Hedgehog were married on the 8th day of May 2005. So
seriously, I think this is the saddest shit I've ever heard. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to top this.
Okay,
this guy got married to Sonic the Hedgehog, and he's bragging about it on a website.
Let's hold that thought because
it
gets better
here.
So after that, other people joined along in the fun, and I'm gonna go through these quickly because this goes somewhere that I'm really excited to get to. So Diamond Chican posts.
This is so awesome. I'm so happy. Never in my wildest dreams have I ever thought me and Knuckles would get married. I didn't think it was possible, but now we are. Just look at my signature. Okay, all giddiness and joyfulness aside for a moment, let me say a few things. First, I want to thank Alex for creating this wonderful site, because without it, I wouldn't have met all the cool people here and never would have married the love of my life. I wish her a happy marriage with Sonic. And second, I also thank Sega Sonic Team for making the Hedgehog games in the first place. Otherwise, Sonic and Knuckles and all the others wouldn't exist, and it wouldn't have been a nice world to live in. And of course, thanks to everyone for being wonderful Robophiles and Tunophiles.
Okay.
I just love the idea of wanting to marry something called Knuckles.
Okay, so then...
I learned some words there. I didn't want to
know.
Okay,
to follow it up, Jess the Hedgehog had... After this marrying had happened and everyone had, you know, wed and whatever, rings and vows exchanged, we get to Jess the Hedgehog and he has himself an idea. He says...
Can you open the board for those of us who married more than one character and genuinely love all of our spouses? I agree that a rule should be made to keep polygamy to that board, and I'll abide by it if you do.
And Alex, the first person whose comments I read, if I can go back to him, did not like this idea, did not like Jess the Hedgehog's idea.
He did not like the idea of there being polygamy.
Of being polygamy in response.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jeff. As much as I'd like you and everyone to be pleased, and as the creator of a website about love and passion, I can't extol, you know, this unfaithfulness. Besides, polygamy is forbidden in almost all countries on Earth, and here's proof of how much it might be harmful. Please accept my apologies, Jess. So,
oh my God.
Let me stop and say, they have morals, okay? They have morals, people!
They have standards.
You marry a hedgehog, or you marry... an echidna, or you marry whatever these other animals are. They are until death do you part.
That goddamn right,
Bubsy.
Bubsy, you don't cheat on Sonic.
You don't have a harem of rodents, okay, dude? Now get the hell out of here before I ban you. And
you
I think,
sick fuck.
I think that person was banned. So that is like to me.
No Mormons allowed on the site.
The internet, like once again, makes me afraid of people. I mean, it makes me, like, afraid. I mean, well, because, you know, like, you look on your street, and you're like, who knows? There's all these closed doors, and who knows what goes on. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, someone rents, like, a risque movie or something. But no, this is going on behind them, and that scares the hell out of me. But it's kind of funny. But, so I don't know. That,
how do you get to that place in your life, really? How does it get to there? You know? You're born, your parents raise you.
Or they don't.
And then one day you're marrying cartoon rodents on your computer.
It happened, but one of them said, if we can believe them, said they were crying. And again, now here's, I kind of spoiled it at first, but I was like, you know, this shit cannot be real. And that's like, that's the same response to this. It's the same thing if you saw like, you know, a pig fly by outside. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm tripping out.
Of course, we could be, who are we to judge?
Yeah.
If this makes them happy.
No, come on, dude. It's like, well, I'm not judging it, but it's like I'm baffled by it. I'm wondering how it happens, you know? Like how – at what – I mean, it's not even like at what point, but how does it even happen? How
well,
do
that's
you go,
what I'm saying, yeah.
You know what? I need to – you're playing that game.
Right.
You're collecting rings, and one mm-hmm. dude's like, dude, we got to get some more rings. Maybe we should go back to casino level and try to get some rings. And the dude next to him's like – no, dude, we got to figure out how to marry this fucker.
he's cute.
What world conditions,
how does that happen?
Right.
Tails set this up.
Tails has got two tails. You know what that's about.
So, yeah, we can go back right to our regular schedule programming. Last one if you
over
to
my
hear.
All my years of gaming, I've been fond of the occasional video game character. Oh. But not to that extent.
Not that fond.
Not that fond. No.
Now, there's probably a huge like community of Tunophiles and Robophiles that are going to write in and tell us what we don't understand, that we persecute them. And...
one more thread to lock.
But hey, if you're not hurting any, just don't hurt anybody. It's all good. You can keep
That's
on
right.
marrying them. And it's,
That's
I don't
right.
even
Amen.
Mind if you're a polygamist with these rodents.
That's how open-minded we are here at GFW.
But actually, here and in Utah, it's totally cool.
Okay, the one last thing. White Shadow, same board. What would you do if you saw Amy totally naked, asleep, groaning, and saying your name? This one's for the men.
Faith the Hedgehog responds.
No.
Slowly back up and shut the door quietly so I wouldn't wake her up.
Oh, that's sweet.
All right, so we
let's
played
it on a high note.
That's a high note.
Okay.
Back to the schedule program.
Thanks. Thanks, Sean.
Ryan is mine.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Your head,
right? Games for Windows, everybody.
So just make up a Sonic. Some kind of Sonic came out on PC at some point, didn't it?
Probably. I think I just ported it.
Yeah, I think it was a port.
Well, then that's what I was talking about.
There you go.
All right. Okay, let's switch tactics here, because we got an item was up on the World Wide Web today about the Quake Wars Collector's Edition. Right? That got announced. And we got a little list of what's in the collector's edition. Let's see. What do you get? Premium packaging with a slipcase.
Ooh.
Which what does that mean? It just means it's not. It doesn't come in like a cardboard thing, you know, or little plastic sheet.
So it's a heavier box to throw out.
And you get 10 collector's cards. And what are on these cards?
I think it was various stronger GDI. Vehicles mm-hmm. with tips and information.
Uh-huh. Are they? Does everybody get the same 10 cards, or might I need to buy more than one collector's edition so that I get all the
it's
cards?
It's actually a trading card game. You have to buy like 50 different copies of the game. To
right.
Like, I wonder, is anyone, like, you can write in and answer this for me. Like, if you get this kind of thing and you get these cards, like, what do you do with them?
Well, we just probably answered that in the last segment. you marry them.
You put them in your wallet.
No, you collect them.
Do you strog?
So you're playing.
Marry this GDI?
Hold up, asshole! Don't kill me. I gotta look at the card. Okay. Well, clearly your vehicle's superior. Let me get out so you can blow up my vehicle.
Well, nah, they're probably just more like baseball cards, right? Collect them all.
You get a strog rookie year.
You get a bonus DVD with concept art. So that'll make for a good time at your computer screen there. Clicking through those files.
I'm going to print it up and put it on my wall.
Marry him.
And then if you pre-order to get the collector's edition, so there's even more beyond getting the collector's edition, you can pre-order it, and then you get the ability to reserve your username. Online,
dude. I'm so grabbing,
and you get a poster.
That's a value prop in marketing.
I am so grabbing Uberizer 111.
So we're all bringing this up in a kind of mocking way. If you couldn't tell, are we jaded because we just work here and so we get stuff like that free? What do we think about collector's editions?
Well. Well, collector's editions used to be cool things that would have all these really interesting premiums in the box, like a cloth map.
The Warcraft ones.
Blizzard does them right.
Yeah, Blizzard does them totally right.
But that doesn't... I mean, maybe I'd have to see it, but, like, on paper, that does not sound right.
Well, hold on. Let's compare them. What's in the World of Warcraft?
You get a hardbound art book, and their art books are always really cool, in my opinion.
Nice,
like
hardbound
and the difference, there are hundreds of characters in that game in mm-hmm. World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Also...
probably like, I mean, what, 16 characters in Quake Wars.
Right. And also a hardbound book versus a disc.
Something
I think,
you
know, at least you got something you can
you can hold. You get the mouse pad with the map. That's all right. You get the behind the scenes DVDs, and I think there's all the cinematics on it. Maybe there's more on this disc.
Do you get the music?
You get the soundtrack. You get the in game pet.
Right.
In the original collector's edition, you could pick between like a panda and a mini Diablo mm-hmm. and like a
trading
and
cards.
You get the trading cards.
Get the trading cards.
Okay. So to be fair, the
some of the
pet
stuff is similar.
Those are both Waja.
But see, actually, I like the in-game pet. That's like one of the things. It just for some reason, I enjoy my stupid little useless pets. And
people
I walk
like that
with
shit
out.
In the game. Yeah.
But even
people,
still,
you could say this. I mean, what kind of answer is that? People like that shit, the trading cards. There's got to be some kid or that art disc. He puts it on his iPod, and in class, he sits there looking at that art. He's like, oh, yeah, only 2 hours till I get to go home and play some more. Hoping that the kid next to him looks over.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're right.
You play video games? Yeah, I play video games too.
Okay,
I'll be your
right.
friend.
Okay, so let's say then, is there any difference between the Warcraft one and this? Why are we giving that one a pass? Because we're in bed with Blizzard.
Cloth maps.
Why are we giving that up?
Well, cloth map.
It feels like there's a lot more tangible stuff to it. Something you could like hold in your hand and say, okay, I can see why I'm paying extra money for this.
It's also, yeah, they put a lot of money and care into it, too. Everything's nicely done.
That's like Stalker's got a collector's edition that seems cool to me, too. And that, I mean, they're games where like a big overworld map could help you, perhaps, you know, or like there's just a lot of like different ways to do things, you know. I mean, you could probably, I mean, if you really are that kind of person, and I know you are, Jeff, I hear it in your voice, you're going to bed, you're going to bed and you just like look at the, you look at your map of Azeroth and kind of plot out your activities for the next day.
It's really more like I'm trying to memorize it for my dreams later. If I look at it long enough before I go to sleep, I'll actually be in Stranglethorn Vale when I'm dreaming.
He puts his pewter fingers underneath the pillow. So
getting
he can,
married
so
to a goblin.
It seems like you could, I don't know, like you could get some use out of a book like that, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just keep thinking it all kind of stems from like, you know, the good old days when Infocom would pack in like all these crazy things to supplement a text adventure.
Right. But of course, they didn't call them collector's editions back then. That's just what everybody got.
Yeah.
Because they put cool packages together. You didn't have to pay a premium for it. I mean, isn't part of this just that, like, this is just a scam that's going on everywhere with DVDs, music CDs.
I think that's,
you know, they're just like milking the fans who they know if they pay, are willing to pay a little extra because they're fans and they got to get that extra thing.
Right. And I think the difference between, like, my perception of the Blizzard one is, like, I actually would like an art book for that, whereas, like, I don't really care about enemy wars. Enemy
but you're not, you're not
wars.
Like a...
Right, so there you go.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
a WoW
it's
fanboy.
All individual perception for what you think is cool for each game.
Right.
So,
but I'm not a WoW fanboy, and I still think it's a substantial thing that you have like on your, well, like I said, you know, put on your bookshelf, but it's certainly like you feel like you're getting something tangibly huge for what you're putting down.
I was impressed looking at, I haven't even played WoW, and I was impressed looking at you
That's
guys open
saying.
Them up.
Yeah, they just looked special. But then on the other hand, to take the other extreme, it's heavy. I mean, it's a big thing. You know, it looks cool. Whereas on the other side of the spectrum, there's the Jade Empire Special Edition, which came in the other day, which is in the... And we love BioWare. We've given them nothing but good reviews throughout their entire history.
And the game is good.
And the game is good itself. But this Collector's Edition, or I think they call it Special Edition, don't they?
Right.
The special thing is that they finally ported it. So
that's very special.
Is it doesn't play on the Xbox. So, and there's nothing in this box of any substance, right? I mean, there's the game on DVD. There's a art book, but it's not like the hardbound Warcraft art book. This is like the size of the manual in the little box now. It's just like a stapled paper thing.
That's what they did with the other one of the most shameful special editions ever was for Half-Life 2. And instead of, you know how there's the Raising the Bar hardcover art book?
Yeah.
It came with the shitty stapled together pamphlet of a couple pictures from the art book.
From the art book.
It was like an ad for the, it was like a commercial.
If you want to see more
art. It was even a freaking like just a big cardboard box too.
It was a big empty ass cardboard box.
Yeah.
And you pull it out and there's just a little jewel case floating around in the middle of it.
It was gross.
And a crusty t-shirt.
I felt ripped off. I felt ripped off by that one.
Yeah, that was horrible. I remember when we worked at the same magazine. We worked at this magazine. They're out of business now. Sean and I did. It was called GameStar. There's some in Germany and stuff now. It's not that one. It was when we both worked there that Half-Life 2 came out. And we both went and got the special edition and opened it up and were just felt completely ripped off and cheated.
Yep.
Drink your Ovaltine.
But see, we'll buy them. Yep. We'll keep doing it. Don't you think? Because we're suckers that way.
Now, here's where
if it's the franchise you like, you'll buy it.
Now, here's what's weird, because like, people complain, you know, oh, we're not getting enough out of these limited editions. I would not want them to add anything to the game that would change the game in a limited edition. Because I've heard people say, why don't you put like an extra map or something in there? I don't want that.
Why?
Because I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to buy
then
the
it's
collector's
a compulsory buy. Like,
what about? Then you're going to feel resentful.
Yeah.
Wonder if we'll ever have a point where it's like instead of the special edition, that's the retail edition. Like retailers to try to convince you to keep
going to
buying the actual hard copy of things, then automatically start throwing all that stuff in.
It could
and
be
everything
that,
else
that,
is just the digital.
Totally makes
they
sense.
They're kind of doing it with like console games. I bought God of War 2. Mm-hmm. It was just the regular version, and in it came like the behind the scenes bonus DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, well, I didn't ask for that, but that's something that was included with it as an extra disc. And obviously, an extra disc equals, you know, premium of some sort.
Right.
So.
I'm having this issue now with music right now, actually, where I'm trying to go all digital, but I'm still coming back to CDs because sometimes I just want the stuff that's in the CD, especially if it's a box set. And yeah, I know there's a book, and I've heard that the book is good. I feel like I'm missing out if I buy it online.
One thing I noticed they're doing, like, not to go too far off topic, but like with music CDs, they'll include like a DVD sometimes, like a concert disc or videos or whatever, or extra content. That's when I'm the sucker, and I'll buy the music CD.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, whenever there's a music CD that comes out, if it comes out in two versions, and it's an artist that I really like, and there's the regular, and then there's the quote-unquote collectors, I will always get the collectors just because I'm a sucker for that thing. Even if I know that there's probably nothing worth it, I figure, oh, I'm a fan, I got to get the collectors.
Yeah.
All the real fans are getting the collectors. And I'm one, so I better get it. So, I don't want to get the tarp pack.
That's how you end up with cards of
cards of Bob Dylan,
the Anansi, and the other vehicles. And
so, you know, like hardcore id fans got to spring for that collector's edition.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
Do we know? We don't know about pricing yet, do we? It wasn't in
the. No, the
item.
Best ever.
I don't think it was in that. No. Okay. Maybe it might be available for pre-order now or something.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's like $1 more, and then suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, that's okay. That's great for $1.
What was the best thing ever, Sean?
It was like the digital version of the box set that you get for free, but like what Valve does with their commentary modes.
Oh yeah,
I want to see more of that. It was so cool in episode 1 and. I mean, especially, I don't know if it'll be as cool depending on the developer, but I'd love to see. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing them in Team Fortress 2 and in Episode 2, and it would be cool to see other developers pick that up. That's where, like, that's something I'd pay extra for.
But I wonder how a commentary mode.
Not the cards, but like if there was the equivalent of that in Quake Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wonder how a commentary mode would work in a strictly multiplayer game, though.
That's what I mean. That's
well, couldn't
part
they
of the
talk
thing
about
that they're
map design
still.
Or well, I guess level yeah, design,
or if they had like a training mode where you just kind of like run through the map and like give you tips.
That's the thing. You go into a map like on your own, or Valve is working out if you could do it with other people with you, but where you're all accessing it in that same context, in the commentary context. And then yeah, exactly like you're saying, map design, just other things about. I mean, they could put anything in there. They could talk about. I mean, you could talk about the character design, animation. Balancing of classes, any of that you could technically fit in there, and you could trigger. I mean, they can introduce in the way that they did with episode 1's commentary, where all of a sudden they bring in character models of like say a demo man using his demo jump or something, and saying how they tweaked it so that he's like more useful now and stuff, and teach new players like for once like here's how to concussion jump, and especially console people get it, they're not gonna know what the hell that is,
right?
Yeah, you know what I got to tell you. Like now that I think about it, with the Quake Wars package, if they added some kind of commentary mode like that, because like Wedgwood could totally take people to school, like you know, explain not just the map design,
Paul,
but how to play.
Wedgwood is
Paul
a lead Wedgwood. Designer. Well, Paul, if you're listening, I know Paul listened when we talk about Quake Wars. I don't know if he'll listen any other time, but if you're listening, you see Quake Wars when you do your Google search on Quake Wars, and it comes up in our podcast. Get us some commentary, man.
Do it. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your thoughts. Anyway.
All right. Do we have anything else this week? Are we done?
You got the list.
Any questions? Reader questions or anything?
Eh.
How are we doing on time?
We're at 1 hour and 10 minutes, according to my little ticker here. And I think that dead space equals
wow.
Let's wrap this up.
You got more. Oh, yeah. The main topic, dude. The one I had on there.
The main. We didn't even do the main topic yet. Wow.
We are so on top of our shit today.
We're all done except for the main thing we were going to talk about today.
Ryan looks like you're ready to bounce, huh?
Yeah. Well, Ryan did come down here with his stuff, which was sort of like some kind of passive-aggressive sign. You know? He came down here with his little, you know, his backpack and his lunch pail.
Lost his
carton.
He's got Ryan has got a lost lunch pail
and his juice box
with Hurley on the cover.
His Hurley
Capri Sun. He can never seem to punch a hole through like the straw thing, so he always
through
like,
the bottom.
Through the bottom.
Yeah. My mom wouldn't let me have Capri Sun, and now looking back, I just like. Why?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Sugar. Too much sugar.
It's
maybe
a bag of sugar, man.
No, but I was allowed to have like you know the boxes. Like the high C ones. Like, why couldn't
the boxes,
I have the pouch?
You couldn't have
the...
Like, I don't want you drinking those colostomy bags, son.
I didn't get it. Looking back, I'm just like, well,
I wasn't allowed to eat potato chips, and to this day, as a, you know, over 40 adult, I still have a thing for potato chips because that was like the forbidden thing to me. So now I like eat chips all the frickin' time. Thanks, Mom.
Great job.
And I am
Sean drinks nothing
drinking
but Capri Sun. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I couldn't drink alcohol.
He heard, like, he was crying when they pulled the Ecto Cooler off the shelf. But he found some, like, old-ass, like, grocery outlet place, and he gets them on offline where they got, like, cases from, like, 1986.
Dude, I actually tried that Ecto Cooler. That is some ill shit, man.
Ecto Cooler.
So do we want to go into this topic? One last topic and then quit? Or?
It's a big topic.
It's a big topic. We'll save it for next time.
I wanted to save that for when we go in there with some gusto. That's one. That's a take a trip.
Take it to the hole.
Taking a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
No, but it's a
little nostalgia.
It's
for next
about
time.
Yeah. It's about nostalgia. But also
Retronauts.
It's our special Retronauts.
It is, but it takes itself all the way up to the present. It starts in the past and moves to the present. So
maybe we'll do part one on Retronauts.
Yeah.
No, we won't. Fuck those guys.
I have some arcade stories.
Here we go again.
Sneak preview.
You know, maybe I could do it. I'm gonna do them real quick right now because I never got the chance to do them.
What?
You guys hate me.
So. Okay.
That's why, like, maybe, like, every other week I just won't be on this podcast so that I don't hog it.
You're not
hogging. You don't hog it. We're going to share.
Go ahead.
But I'll take off next week so I can say this now. We were talking about arcades, and I have some unfinished business, like classic arcade stories. You guys got 10 minutes? Let's hear yours, too. But
tell us an arcade story, Sean.
Okay, right. More arcades. So, like, we had, of course, the classic kid, the Insane kid. But also, there's a time... and I mentioned it's called Wonderland in San Diego. It's Santee, more specifically, and it's like $1.75 to get in, 5 to 10 cents to play all the games once you paid your entry fee. And we just go there to, like, you know, you're in that age, it's like summer in high school or whatever. There's, like, nothing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got a car, but you ain't got no money, and mm-hmm. you just go places and mess around or whatever.
There's a song in this somewhere.
So... Yeah, we'd go there. It's got to be. So we'd just go there to, like, prank the hell out of this place. And, like, of course, fart bombs, stink bombs, that's, like, I mean, that's a given. So if there's, like, a fool, you know, sitting down, you know how they've got, you guys are making me feel bad. You
all that's looking, a given.
Oh, come on. Like, what do you think you would?
Look like, yeah. Okay, so you know how they have, like the sit-down games, like a racing game or whatever, and there's two seats?
Oh, yeah.
So you find a fool who's in there, and obviously he doesn't want to get up, so... pop one of them, throw it in there with him, like, enjoy, dude. Then, you know, just you work your way around the place, just cruising around. You hit everyone up. And then, like, we had my friend's dad owns Highlight Adult Books in San Diego. It's like this big porn shop. So he got, it's like, Adult Video News. It's like a catalog of all the releases that year.
Oh, yeah.
Your friend's dad owned a porn shop?
Yeah, and also Lay Girls.
That's a nice connection.
Which is, like, if any San Diego listeners, yeah, Lay Girls and...
Lay Girls?
Yeah, it was right next to it.
As in L-A-Y
so
or L-E-S?
So we go down there all the time. Like, we get mad discounts, but we grab that. that was wild stuff. But we grab that because when you're in high school, you know, you go to that kid's house, and his dad's got random ladies over partying and stuff. But anyway, so we grab that AVN and we take pictures because there's, like, full-on naked pictures and stuff of all kinds of ish going on in that magazine. So we'd rip out those pictures. And then, like, here's where the story's going. You know, like, there's that plexiglass plate on the controller, like, that holds a button
down.
You
slip them underneath?
Yeah, so, like, one of us would pull that thing up, and then the rest would slide those down. And there was, like, all kinds of good shit in there. There would be, you know, straight, gay, whatever, you name it. So we'd hook those up, and, like, the next fool, they'd be playing Street Fighter, you know, all into it. It's just, like, all kinds of stuff going on, like, right as soon as they look down.
Looking for Chun-Li's moves and seeing
then,
that.
So that was good. I mean, and then, like, just dumbass stuff, but it was fun. Like, playing Mortal Kombat, like, the first one. And every time, you know, you look back forward with Raiden, we're like, take up my eye! We, like, stand up on the controller thing. Like, when we jump up, so, you know, your feet are on where the buttons are, and yell that every time you did it, and then I have to jump back down when you're playing. But they had always wanted to kick us out for that, and then, like,
really,
they had
I never would have gotten that.
one of my friends, this is too much. Like, this is asshole. She took a, I guess, I don't think it was to put the porno in there. Maybe it was, but he took an upper tanker in their bathroom, in the Wonderland bath. If this place is still around, I'm sorry, guys, but he took an upper tanker in there. That's where, like, you take the lid off the top of the toilet and you deuce in there, and then so the next fool that flushes it. It's immediate, like, a Blackwater overflow.
Oh.
So he would, okay. So he did an upper tanker.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah, there's more. I got more. I'm going to have to save them, like, a little each week, but those are a few other ones.
Let me see. I got one I can remember right now. You know, remember the old Disc-a-tron stand-up game that had, like, a little booth in there?
Oh, yeah.
But it was like a lean-in. It was like a little hole. Like, it was an enclosed space.
Those are great, dude.
Yeah, so I dropped a smoke bomb in there. Once the guy was playing, this guy was like the dick at the local arcade, so I had to fuck with him. So yeah, I just,
or like the off switches would be up on the top of the game.
Yeah.
Know? Like you just reach up there and hit those, hit the reset button when people are playing, slap them on the back. Good game, dude. And walk on to the next one. But of course, like, you know, you got to be careful. You don't do it to the kids bigger than you. They whoop your ass.
I was always the kid you were doing it to.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, because I learned that stuff from other kids. It's like, it's just the cycle of life.
Just pass
it
down.
Like, I mean, that day, I remember, like, there could have been an age when, you know, maybe I was in junior high. It was like kite day. Mm-hmm. And I'm flying my kite. I get my kite the highest. And then a rocker comes by with a switchblade and he tells me to hold the string on my own kite and he cuts it and then laughs. So that day, I learned it from him, you know. Then I go to the arcade.
Yeah, but that,
there's,
you know,
someone younger than me. Of course, I'm going to hook them up.
Well, yeah, I
pass that knowledge down. That's
but the difference is you took those lessons and then you applied them, and then, you know, yeah, cycle of life. You did it to the. But I just went home and cried.
You did.
That's how I vented it. Yeah.
We need a sad, soulful music.
Did you cry when you saw what I left on the faceplate of your Street Fighter?
I did. Yeah.
I just went home and asked Sonic to marry me.
Actually, that's what happened. You drove somebody to go marry Sonic. Good going, yeah. Sean.
So you guys never did that stuff?
No, I was.
We weren't bullies like you.
I was on the receiving end mostly.
Fool get his hand caught in the redemption prize, trying to snake the prizes out of it. They got to call the ambulance. You ever seen that?
No.
Right.
You really saw that?
Yeah, and then also at school too. Like someone, you know how there's always like the sign they put. Like it was the dude that they make that sticker for. Don't kick the vending machine because they'll fall over on you and kill you. Like this fool broke his arm and they're trying to get a free Coke out of it.
There was a guy at our school who got his hand stuck in the Coke machine for that reason. Yeah,
classic.
Yeah,
the games. Okay, last.
He was trying to
reach
under to get the Coke out for free.
Dude, drill a hole in the quarter. Like, I'm not telling the kids to do this. Probably doesn't even work. But, you know, put fishing line through it.
Right.
And then just, try to rig that thing through there.
We did that in Berkeley. That's all.
Did it ever get it to work? I never got it to work.
We did.
Not once.
We did on one pinball machine. It was awesome. Because we'd just be playing all day, and the guy would be walking around with the chain thing, and we'd just be laughing at him.
He's like, no.
Right.
He was
thinking, wow, these guys must be spending all their money today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
running up to that guy. You mean was it just change or tokens?
It was change in those days. Yeah,
all right.
Of course, that was in the three games for a quarter day.
When was that?
How's that work out?
Back in the pinball days, it'd be a dime for one game or three games for a quarter.
God,
you're taking us way back.
Yeah, I am. That was the 1930s.
And I remember it was like. Yeah. Let me see. This.
Right around Prohibition.
So the old zoetrope. I spun the wheel, and then Peggy Sue took her top off.
My only arcade story is I worked at a dollar theater as a usher. We had a Mortal Kombat 2 machine, and this was like when Mortal Kombat 2 was pretty passe. Mm-hmm. It's like the time of Mortal Kombat 2 was clearly gone, but it was a dollar theater, so it made sense.
Right.
All of a sudden, just standing there, you know, ripping tickets, and all of a sudden, we hear the machine, like, shake really hard, and then this kid starts running, bolting, carrying the little bucket of quarters. So we got, like, four of us go chasing down and knocking down.
What's going on?
Like,
he took your bucket?
Yeah, it took the bucket
Some
of quarters.
Some little kid did?
Some little kid.
Wow.
So we all chased him down into the parking lot and tackled him, and it was, like, $2.50.
Wow. It wasn't Sean, was it?
It might have been. He just is like, hey, this thing must be open, or I don't know if he like, broke it open or something.
Wow.
Ran off with $2.
Hardcore criminal.
I would get punked plenty of times.
It'd be funny if he came back trying to get into the movie afterwards.
Like you'd
change.
Be playing and some bigger kid would come over. He'd wait for you to put your quarter in, and he just, because, you know, you're there on your own. You rode your bike there or some shit. He just push you aside and play.
I had that happen.
Sit there and watch him.
Yep.
That was actually
that's just so funny now. It's like the end of the world, though, when you're that kid.
Oh,
you feel
sure.
So ripped off and violated. There's no one to tell.
That's what I'm saying. I go home and cry.
I got revenge. I was the kind of guy I smoke bombed.
Some guy pulled a knife on me at the Dodger game on cap day and took my cap. You know, I got my free Dodger cap. It's like, man, you got one too. We all got one coming in. You got to take
you,
mine.
Though, dude. He pulled a knife on you for a Dodger cap?
Yeah.
That's hard.
And then the Dodger stadium wouldn't give me a new one.
How old were you when that happened?
Like 24. Yeah, I'm kidding. I was like 8. I was like a little kid.
Dude, who pulls a knife on an 8-year-old?
Well, somebody who really wanted a second.
A 9-year-old?
No, it was like a grown man.
That's
like
messed up.
Yeah.
That is way messed up.
That's worse than, you got the lunch money. You know it'll happen if you tell anyone. See you tomorrow.
Okay, Dad.
It'll be our little secret. The infomercial, public safety announcement about like getting bullied or molested.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that played where I grew up.
And you learn nothing from that. You keep bullying people.
He was getting tips. He's like, oh, I didn't think of that one.
All right. I think now we're going to sign off.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So Ryan can go home.
Ryan, you had to go to an arcade. We're signing out, but you're taking us out with your arcade story.
I have no arcade stories.
Did they
your mom wouldn't let you go there because they played secular music?
What?
Your mom wouldn't take you to the arcade because she heard they played secular music.
Devil's music?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it went down.
All right. Yeah. We will see you again next week with more nonsense. Goodbye.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.oneup.com.